meeting of January 14th to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation, Pledge of Allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Please be with our residents. Please be with our employees. Please guide this meeting this evening. Please be with those who have lost loved ones, and please heal those who are sick. Please watch over our nation. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner.
I got it.
Yes, ma'am. Will our city secretary please call?
Councilmember Grant, he gave that note, he would not be. Councilmember Altabaca?
Here.
Councilmember Salazar?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich?
Here.
Councilman Hernandez, he let me know he would not be able to attend. Councilmember Martin?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here. We will move to item 5, citizens' participation. We have one individual signed up this evening, Mr. Harold Shaw. There is no one else signed up this evening. That's fine. Hold on. Let me. Patty, do you want to? That way she can sign.
So she can sign.
Y'all know me already, probably. My name is Nancy Pena. I'm here because...
Wait, Ms. Pena, can you... I just want to be able to hear you, and I couldn't hear you, so...
She's got a double mask on.
I just wanted to make sure we can hear. Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Y'all probably know me already. I've been here like already a year. And Coffee a month ago. And thank you for listening to me. I did see a little bit of progress in trying to open the business up. The only thing is that I think your mission statement here, it says the city of Torrey is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a physically responsible manner. And I have not seen that with manager or Patty Cox. I've been here a lot of times. I've emailed a lot of times the city manager, and I have not gone anywhere. I'm kind of already frustrated. I had to close my office, thinking I was gonna be able to open this office within a few months, and no, it has been, 8 months already, and I have not been able to open the office. I really need your help. I think you know me, Ms. Pierce, already, so please help me in opening this office. I don't know what is, they told me that the only time that I was able to talk to her was one day that after we did our council meeting, and they told me that I had to reflect. I did reflect. That was not cheap. It cost me $15,500 to do that. And y'all said that I was gonna be able to open the office, and y'all have just given me a lot of closed doors when it comes to trying to open. I've done whatever y'all asked me to, and I've abided by that. I don't know what's going on. I do email Patty Cox, and her emails really just, they have no answer. She answers them, but there's no answer on it. You understand?
Yes.
So if y'all can help me with that, that would really help. I would really hate to close the office. It's not just me, but I'm working out of my house right now. It's an employee that I would have to let go. How would she feel if they would be let go from their job? It wouldn't be nice, right? And I don't want to let her go just because there's no response. You understand? Hopefully y'all can pay attention to what I'm saying.
Thank you. Okay, now there is no one else signed up this evening. We will move to item 6A, consideration and action on the regular meeting minutes of December 17th, 2020. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept the minutes of December 17th, 2020.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Apodaca, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, to accept the regular meeting minutes of December 17th, 2020. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Okay. All right, we will move to item 7A, presentation. This will be led by Police Chief Kevin Boyce pertaining to Exceptional Service Award.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, council members, citizens. So at the police department, a bunch of years ago, we instituted a recognition program to help build morale within the department and recognize specific officers who go a little bit above and beyond. Lieutenant Cardona did, back in December, notice an incident that occurred here in the city, where officers were dispatched to a burglary in progress. When we get calls for burglaries, they're usually after the fact. Somebody comes home from work and their home's been burglarized, or somebody shows up, business owner shows up in the morning and the business has been burglarized. It's not a common occurrence that somebody comes home and actually finds the burglar still in the house. This was one of those particular cases where officers were in the right place at the right time, able to get there. And I want to add to this too that depending on the officer and what department, I know personally at home, my home had been broken into, and I called the law enforcement agency for that jurisdiction. It took them about an hour to get there, and all I did was take a report. He gave me a case number and turned in with my insurance. Okay, we try to encourage or discourage that behavior here at the Kirby Police Department. So in this particular case, officers Lynette and Carlson were dispatched to the burglary. In route, they saw a vehicle that closely matched the vehicle that the burglars escaped in. Got the vehicle pulled over, and sure enough, they were right on the money. They were able to recover all the stolen items from the house. In addition, they determined that the vehicle itself was stolen out of another jurisdiction. Made an apprehension of five people right there on the spot, and we were able to get everything back. So under the policy that we have, Lieutenant Cardona nominated them. It was run up through me to the city manager. We all approved. So we have this sophomore, just a little certificate acknowledging that in this particular case, these two officers did go above and beyond what is normally normal for the police department and just take in a report. And so we'd like to say thank you. And LT's out of town, so she'll sign that when she comes back. But we have just a small certificate just to say thank you for going above and beyond.
At that council meeting on December 17th, that was what the hustle and bustle was between the officers. That's why Lieutenant Cardona was running back and forth.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Monique, the next item. Okay, so you want me to skip it? We're going to skip 7B and we're going to move and go back to it, and then we're going to go to item 8A, discussion and possible action on revisions to the ordinance number 193, discharge of air rifle and BB guns prohibited. Sorry, Chief.
Back up again.
You're a popular guy.
Okay, so Kaya was asked to review the current city ordinance on discharging of air rifle guns because of an incident that occurred in the city where, after a domestic disturbance, a husband decided the right thing to do was to vent his frustrations out on the bed mattress and unloaded a revolver into the bed mattress. Only thing that was damaged was personal property. In talking to the victims, wife and the children who were present, the gun was never directed at them. They weren't in the room. It was just husband upset and he vented. The officers that responded chose to file a case at large, which is always an option. This was also compounded with the fact that on that particular day, I had two brand new officers, less than a year service. The supervisor or the senior officer assigned to that shift, that was his particular day off. So they looked into city ordinance. City ordinance only addresses BB guns and air rifles and that sort of thing. It doesn't address actual firearms. So case was filed at large. There's gonna be follow-up on it, and if the DA's office accepts it, there'll be arrest made at a later time. But in order to help the officers come up with another tool to direct them, what I have done, and I do believe they all have a copy. Okay, so I have submitted changes. At the top of the page, you see our current ordinance. Again, it is one simple paragraph that just talks about air rifles, BB guns, and pellet guns. So what I have expanded it, I did get some guidance out of the city ordinance, or county or parish ordinance, I'm sorry, out of Louisiana, and within Texas law to include, in addition to BB guns, air guns, and pellet guns, the discharge of any type of pistol or rifle, any type of other firearms, including shotguns of any description. I went ahead and included air gun, BB gun, or pellet gun, or any gas-operated or spring-loaded firearm. And because we have had complaints on this before, crossbows, bows and arrows, and none of that is permitted to be fired within 500 feet of a roadway or another house. So, then those are the only recommendations that I have to submit on that. It will require almost a complete rewrite of the ordinance, but I think I've successfully been able to cover every aspect of that particular ordinance. So,
why does the ordinance need to include a firearm if there's already state law?
There is a state law that does cover it, and like I said, in that particular instance, we had two brand new officers, less than a year experience under them. They didn't realize that they could make an arrest on that particular case. The senior officer assigned that shift was off, so they didn't call him. They just made a decision at the time. In doing research, most of the cities in the city of San Antonio and the suburban cities within Bexar County have a similar ordinance that just prohibits the discharge of a firearm within the city limits. So I just expanded upon that to include, as I was directed, to expand our
The penalty for that under the state law, is that not a little bit higher than would be a city ordinance?
Of course it would be, yes. But we just felt it would be prudent to include this in an ordinance as well. There's a lot of things that weren't addressed, like crossbows.
Yeah, and I understand those. My only concern was with the handgun, adding it to an air rifle or air gun or a BB gun.
Correct.
Yeah, I think the handgun is totally different from all those issues right there.
Yeah, and I honestly do believe that had the senior officer or supervisor been on like he normally would have been on that particular shift, this wouldn't have been an issue, and the arrest would have been made, and it would have been said and done. But like I said, you know, one officer came on board, I want to believe, in April.
So which one would you prefer them to use, our ordinance or state law?
It depends on who you ask. I think state law is easier, carries higher penalties, but I know our municipal court judge always likes us to use the ordinance.
It's just like when we trained before, you know, you don't have to arrest everybody. So, if this is the way we're going to use it, I'm fine with it.
Yes. So we also did use the incident as a training opportunity for all of the officers, especially the newer ones. This isn't a problem with the senior officers, the guys who've been here for a while, but about half of the patrol shift right now is either at or just under a year's time in service, and they're still armed.
Yep.
That's why we always strive to have a senior officer or a corporal or the sergeant on duty or available. It was just one of those particular type of things where, as much as I would like to work everybody 24/7, 7 days a week, I got to get those days off. And it just happened to fall late enough in the day where a supervisor has just gotten off. Midnight, overnight supervisor unavailable because of his day off. And just the way it happened.
No, I understand that.
Okay, when you consider a drawstring, that's a wrist rocket or one of those things you throw around like that?
Is that
a wrist rocket?
No, a wrist rocket's like a slingshot.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
But it's a drawstring,
you usually draw it back.
Yeah. Is that included in this or no?
I did not include slingshots.
Okay.
But we're still at the early stages. That is something that could be added a couple of keystrokes.
And for if anybody is wondering, provision would not prohibit any person from discharging a firearm to in defense of their person, family, or property. So just want to make that clear.
It's not specifically stated in that, but
right.
Again, we're talking what could be labeled as a felony if you're has a completely different classification from.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you get it in the ordinance.
At this point here, again, I'm open for questions, any other suggestions, things to add to, things to take away. It's also, this is still a non-action item tonight.
Correct, this is just his recommendations to council. If you wish for us to pursue that, then you direct us to bring that back as an ordinance revision.
The only reason I had to bring the wrist rockets and slingshots across the kids and the BB guns, you know, and everything what they use as weapons.
Yep.
You know, they should be liable for breaking windows or hurting people or whatever.
And I completely agree with you, and for that same purpose is why I included the bows and arrows and the crossbows.
Right.
I just didn't think about something.
Yeah, because they wasn't in there before, because remember I had trouble across the street with the bows and compounds.
Yes,
so. I mean, you could probably go on and on and on and add all kinds of weapons, you know. You can even add a blowgun in there.
Just put it in there. If you break it, you fix it. Lord.
Yeah, but, you know, people become specific and want specifics out of us. You know.
Well, that's why I asked under the drawstring, you know, if it was considered as.
I mean, I think it pretty much covered it all.
If there's specific wording that we want to put in, though, now is the time to do it, because once the ordinance written and goes to the lawyer, if we come back and somebody decides to want to change it, whether it's this council or the next council, it's going to cost money every time just to go back and forth. So
yeah, there's no immediate need to put this in with that by the next council meeting or the first of any specific month. So that's why we'd encourage you guys to kind of go over it. Please make suggestions, send an email to the city manager by whatever he deems more to your liking, and let us know what we can add to it.
Right. Is there any further discussion on that item? All right, so if anybody has any other additional proposals or has questions, then please get with Monique so that she can address those questions with Chief Boyce, so that when it does come back to council that it's so well-rounded and has all the pertinent information. All right, anything else?
Your Honor, may I ask the Chief a question on this subject?
Does anybody have any objections? Okay, go ahead.
Is there any provision made for the discharge of any weapon of any kind a person uses in self-defense?
Yes, there is. It would fall under state law, not so much city ordinance. Like I explained earlier, if a citizen currently discharges a weapon or handgun or whatever weapon they use at another person, then it's a completely different set of laws that we look at. And there are provisions, much like the Castle Doctrine, that even extends into your car. If you were at home, somebody breaks into your home, and you were in fear for your life, the lives of your family, under certain circumstances during the hours of darkness to protect property, you can discharge a firearm and use deadly force. Thank you.
All right, we will move to item 8B, discussion and possible action, ordinance number O-2020-890. Regarding Chapter 71, Stopping, Standing, and Parking of the Code of Ordinances. This would be the first reading. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge had requested this item. We previously discussed it August 27th, 2020. Everybody was asked to read the ordinance thoroughly, again, for the same reasons as I stated before, when it goes to the lawyer and goes back and forth. So, Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, did you want to specifically...
I'm satisfied. Well, first of all, I think that there shouldn't be a time limit for any resident to park any car at any length of time, as long as it is running, the registration is current. They should be, I think this is a stupid issue, but if we have to have a time limit, I think 7 days is just fine.
And we did make that change specifically to the recommendation to the section 71.01, sections A and B. So we did increase the parking from 24 hours to 72 hours. We added 7 days for special events and circumstances. And we've done this before, for like if you have a party and there's not enough room, you know, you call, let us know this is what's going to happen as long as you don't impede traffic. So we just included that in the writing, that our request should be sent to the city secretary. She'll forward them to me. I'll approve and go on from there. And the last one, creating a completely new section 71.05. It is more of a code compliance issue. We have a lot of residents that have scrap vehicles, junk motor vehicles contained within their backyard. And this particular paragraph was added at the request of code enforcement because she does get a lot of complaints because of trash, rats, and rodents and snakes that come into someone's backyard from the neighbor's backyard and look over the fence. And there's dismantled vehicles, and there's nothing in our ordinance that addresses that.
Right.
So that, from a health and safety issue and a water quality issue, those vehicles could be leaking fuels and contaminants into the groundwater. So.
Yes, sir. And Chief, could you just go over the part about the advertising signs, because that's one of the things that we didn't want cars parked in front of the streets, on the streets, with for sale and those, even if they were operational.
I do know that that is already within the ordinance. So
right.
If you want me to freshen that up, I could look.
No, no, I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood, you know, that it's not, you know, that
you
part
know,
is.
You can't offer vehicles for sale out on public road.
Right, right. Does anybody else have any questions about what's in there?
I know that it had come up once before about a private road being included in here, so you know we need to the council prefer to remove that particular street from the ordinance. Because it's in our city, but it's a private road. It's no parking because
does
they
the city maintain it?
They designate. No, we do not.
Strike
the
it.
Only thing that we get to is the utilities, you know, we need to for some reason, but they are responsible for maintaining.
And that's why, I mean, it's a lengthy ordinance, so I just wanted to make sure that everybody that's here tonight anyway has actually been able to go over it and read it, just to make sure that we're not passing an ordinance that maybe somebody didn't read something, and then later on, just like Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge and I had, or she had mentioned before, that piece was in there, and it had always been in there, but the whole ordinance wasn't read. When we voted on it, we were only looking at the piece that was changed, not the rest of it, when there was other stuff that may have been, you know, somebody wanted to address it as well. So.
If I may address, this is Chapter 71, stopping, standing, and parking. There had been a question brought up about the stop sign on the end of that same street. Texas Transportation Code does require a vehicle to come to a complete stop when leaving private property and entering a public roadway. So regardless of that sign is there or not there, state law does require that a vehicle leaving that street come to a complete stop. So even if the sign, like I said, if the sign wasn't there, it's still a citable offense if an officer was worth it.
Private road within the city, it's one city. All roads are in the city, whether they're private or not. I would say leave it in.
Ken, is that something, since it's a private road, is that something that if a police officer saw?
Yeah, that would be a violation if a police officer saw it. Yep.
Okay. I don't know because.
I don't see them parking there.
Yeah, like if it's a private road.
So, enforce it.
Right.
Yeah, we'd need a request for the property owner, because it would just be like if you came home and found your neighbor parking your driveway because they've got too much room, you would call us, we'd go over there.
I'm talking about if it's them on their private road, and that's in our ordinance.
No, not them, not the owners themselves, but if somebody else goes on there.
So if it's a private road, the people that are on that private road can violate the ordinance, but somebody traveling there cannot violate the ordinance.
Correct. I mean, it considered like a gated subdivision. Most of your moving violations that you will be getting stopped for on public roadway do not apply, like speed limits. They're a big thing. HOAs, they want to enforce speed limit laws. And technically, on a private roadway inside an HOA, there's no, you can't enforce those. Now, you can enforce the, once they merge onto a public roadway, they have to do it safely with due caution. They have to come to a complete stop and all the rest of the things. But that is the same law that requires you to stop before you leave Kirby Food Mart. To stop, make sure that it's safe to proceed before you go. And surprisingly, a lot of people don't realize that at that particular intersection, coming out of that parking lot, you don't get to turn. So you see a lot of people, as cars go, and they might cut off in front of somebody else.
So does somebody want to make a motion on this, or is it consensus that everybody wants to read it again just to make sure that everything's in there? I mean, we do have a second reading, so there is another opportunity before it's passed, but I just want to make sure that everybody has had ample time to look over it. I mean, we have had it since, you know, back in August, but again, we have a new council members, and so I just wanted to make sure that everybody had ample opportunity.
I'm ready. I'm good with it. So.
I'm good, too.
All right.
Yeah.
So with that, I will entertain a motion. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the action on ordinance number 02020-890 regarding chapter 71, stopping, standing, and parking of the code of ordinance. This is for the first reading.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Audrey, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, to accept ordinance number 2020-890 regarding chapter 71, stopping, standing, and parking of the code of ordinances. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number 0-2020-890 regarding Chapter 71, stopping, standing, and parking of the Code of Ordinances passes for the first reading. Again, if anybody goes back through it and finds something, please contact Monique so she can get with Chief Boyce so that when it comes back at our next council meeting that the additional information is there. All right. Thank you, Chief. Thank you very much. All right, we will move back up to item 7B, the appreciation of service to our City of Kirby Fire Chief.
So, as we all know, we hired our Fire Chief, Tim Levy, a few months ago, and his last day with the City of Kirby is actually on the 24th of this month. So we just wanted to take a little bit of time to pause and thank him for his service to Kirby. You know, in the short time that he's been here, he improved the morale in the department, got the department back on track. The fire department, fire and EMS has always been a jewel in our city, and for many, many years, the community and the residents and the staff have appreciated that. And so we're really pleased that he did that for us. It's unfortunate to see him go, but we just wanted to take an opportunity to thank him. I know some of the fire ship is here. They're very short right now, staff. I don't know if you all have anything you want to add.
He's just been a wonderful chief. He's been a great role model. Definitely somebody that I look up to. Sam, as you said, honestly, definitely improved morale around the fire department. Definitely saw big changes when he was here. So I hope that just build off what he laid the foundation for going on in the future.
Awesome.
so grateful to be here, and I want to thank all of you for the community who's given, not just me, but the firefighters, just superb support. They are amazing people. And thank you for letting me play fire chief, to make some great friends, to be humble, and be grateful. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Chief. I really appreciate your service.
I'm sure that somebody can help you. We do appreciate you being here, Chief. Thank you so much. All right, we will move to item 8C, discussion and possible action to accept the resignation of Jeffrey Conaway from the PNZ Commission. Mr. Conaway tendered his resignation due to work commitments that would not allow him to attend those meetings, so I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we accept the resignation of Jeffrey Conaway from the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Salazar, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to accept the resignation of Jeffrey Conaway from the Planning and Zoning Commission. Is there any discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. So with that, there is now a vacancy. Item D, discussion and possible action on appointment of a member to the Planning and Zoning Commission. At this time in front of me, I do not have any applications.
Not received.
All right, so this would be for a term expiring August 2022. So if anybody is interested in serving on PNZ, please fill out an application for consideration of appointment.
And it's just the one vacancy.
Correct, one vacancy on PNZ. We will move to item E, discussion and possible action on appointing up to four alternate members to the Buildings and Standards Commission. Currently, they do have a full roster with the exception of the four vacant alternate members. I do not have any applications in front of me. There are none in right now. So again, if anybody is interested in serving as an alternate for Buildings and Standards, please fill out an application for consideration for appointment. Item F, discussion and possible action appointment of members to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. There are currently three vacancies on that committee. Do not have any in front of me. None have been turned in. So again, if anybody is interested in serving on Beautification Recycle Committee, please fill out an application for consideration of appointment. We will move to item G, discussion and possible action on serving as a COVID-19 vaccination site at the Kevin Riedel Fire Station. Chief Levy. What a great meeting we had. I said, what a great conference call we had today.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, Mayor, members of council. A couple of months ago, when all the knowledge and the ability of the COVID vaccine to become to fruition and the ability to be able to provide that to the community, we were one of the few municipalities, one of the few services that submitted requests to actually be a provider. Our goal was to treat it a lot like the Freeman Auditorium COVID test. Because of the wonderful facilities that the community has entrusted us with the fire department, we felt it was a really great place for us to be able to put people in cars. And people that were underserved could certainly go to their homes to provide that in their ambulances or fire apparatus. And the intent was to try and get people protected. What we have found over the last 60 to 90 days is the logistics regarding this this program and this process is, I think, far more difficult right now to put our hands on than what I think we can do right now. It's a little bit like pushing a rope. Every time you get an answer, you know, just keep changing direction. And if you look at the news, you see how difficult it is and the emotion that's behind trying to provide vaccinations to a large number of people. My recommendation is that we continue to steadfastly be able to provide services to this community, and that we do consider the council, through Ms. Vernon and the firefighters, we have the people that can give the shots. The medical advice is on. We are a licensed facility to provide that. The problem is, to be quite frankly honest, and the funds to ensure that we have the staffing on site, that once you open the Pandora's box and say that we are going to provide, say, vaccines on Saturdays, whatever that number is, that we can't be interrupted. Right now, all of our crews are out on calls. And so we can't start something that we obviously cannot complete. We have reached out to a couple of different sources to try to get funding so that we can bring people on overtime in to maintain that. And at this point, those funds have not been made available. They're tending right now, I think, for the not just this region, but the whole state. They are focusing on large-scale facilities that can do larger masses. And but I do believe that very soon, whatever that looks like, they are going to, if they have any common sense, to try to get this out into other agencies. So 100 people that we can do in 4 or 5 hours is 100 people that we didn't have 4 or 5 hours ago. And so right now, I think we are not in the position that we can do it. We need to have the funding and the consistency that, that says that when we do begin this program, we can finish it. Because this is a two-shot program that, depending on, that we'll be using the Moderna, so it's 28 days apart. So in learning all of the data and signing, when somebody signs up for it, the minute that they're there, we are going to schedule for that, that second dose. The other thing that's happening is that, that is new, is typically when the doses were allocated, if I go to get my shot, then I have, you know, the clinch shot, and then I have my second shot that's essentially in the freezer waiting for those 28 days, or if he's the Pfizer, the 19 to 21 days. Now what the state is giving you an effective Monday-ish is what they're going to do is no longer hold back those second doses. So I would come in and get my first shot, schedule my shot 28 days later, and my second shot is going to be given to the next person with the hopes that in 28 days, the supply is back there. The complexity in that, why the funding is so critical, is in 28 days, I'm not only giving, having to get my second shot, but I'm also giving her first shot. So there's actually two shots that are happening. So it's a fair amount of curiosity and logistics and work. So I do believe in the program that we put together, we're going to have a program manager that's going to keep track of all of the data, do all of the data entry, folks will give shots, we will monitor them, make sure that they meet the safe requirements to be able to be released from the fire station, and then of course reschedule. So that's kind of an update. It's a very novel idea, there's not a lot of fire agencies that are doing it, and I, to be quite frank, this is because of funding. I do think that funding is going to be available, but I think when that time comes, and Ms. Burton has been very good about this and being on top of it, that when the time comes to say, okay, let's do it, it's a logistical nightmare, but a logistical success. One of the things that I've been very vocal with the state about very early on was for essentially every disaster that occurs in the United States, firefighters are the ones that fix it. Whether it's fires, whether it's hurricanes, tornadoes, pestilence, locusts, doesn't matter what it is, these FEMA teams are the ones that can come in, made up for the most part of firefighters that are specially trained in logistics. I've been fortunate to have served on a Type 1 overhead team, love the system, and I think that's more of what I think needs to happen to get more shots in the arms as quick as we can. So I would encourage the city of Kirby to pursue this, to continue this, and to be excited about it, and hopefully we can get, as time goes on, the shots that we need and shots on the arms. We do have all the equipment and everything necessary. We just need somebody to say, go crazy, and we will.
Would you just touch base on the freezer that has to hold the shots?
Yeah, there are, what we are gonna be doing, our plan is we took a commercial freezer at the Kirby Fire Station, Station 131, when that will be essentially gutted, it's one of the, it's a C-shift fridge, that will be gutted. We have the temperature gauge, thermometers, all the data. The data temperature gauges that ensure that in war, the temperatures are not maintained, and all of that. We have the data logger, we've got everything that we need. We've turned over to the state the all of the certificates and serial numbers and registrations. It's all been verified. So we will have one dedicated refrigerator freezer at the station that will be specifically for that. During that time, there will be a cycle lock of sorts that only, of course, everybody there's going to be given shots. Because this is not narcotic and because we're gone so much, it doesn't need to be locked, but we will keep it locked just because we're gone so much. We don't want somebody sneaking in and getting a freezer full, it's like an ATM machine, getting a freezer full of a vaccine and thinking you got something special. The security system at the station has been, everything has been checked and up to speed, and so like I said, the only provision was the freezer. We only qualify for right now the Moderna, because our freezer will maintain the temperature ranges at the levels that are required by CDC and by the company. The Pfizer at minus 90, the logistics on that are just too crazy. So right now, the Moderna and potentially Johnson & Johnson will be the only other one. Is going to be going to FDA, I believe, next week to get emergency authorization. That is a one dose. It just needs to be refrigerated. And I think that will go as well. What's great with that one, I think if you prioritize it, what's really good, that's going to be really good for those. Even like us in the fire service, where we can give it without it refrigerated. So the other one, once you take either one of them out of the refrigerator, out of the freezer, refrigerated, you got the clock ticks. With the Johnson & Johnson, it's a little bit more forgiving in that respect, and it's a single dose of vaccine.
And wasn't there something like 10 doses in the Moderna, like when you open it?
Correct. So there is some mixes. So there's 10 doses per vial of the Moderna. And the same with the Pfizer. And so what happens is as you draw and verify, one of the things in our program that we did that's kind of unique, and the fact that just as medics, what we do is we administer a lot of drugs every day. And so what happens is whoever draws a shot will look, have to verify it. It has to go to a second medic who will have to verify it before the shot can be administered. And the reason why is the doses have got to be exact.
Thank you, Chief. Does anybody else have any questions for Chief Levy?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
She just making me spray like I have germs.
Mayor, if we make this motion to accept this, how long will it be before we can be able to start to?
There's really no action on it tonight. It's just an overview because, unfortunately, right now, the biggest thing right now is funding and manpower to fund or funding for manpower. But Chief Levy has all the information, and so Monique and Chief have been working together, so we know what's needed. They were talking today on the call that there was like $227 million that was it 227 right 227 million.
$227 million has been allocated for COVID, and I don't know where it's going to go. It's that statewide for COVID implementation of the vaccine. The problem with any of a large amount of dollars like that is very often cities and counties will hold back, and every county gets to manage their own. The monies that they get. So you may have, say, Comal County may manage that money in one way and how they use it. Guadalupe maybe do it another way, and Bear may do it another way.
And we'll be talking about that later down on the agenda. So that'll be.
So I'm hopeful that I think that the dollars and if they. If the goal is truly to get shots in arms so that we can get back to as normal as we can, then I'm really excited for the opportunities that for the whole state, but certainly for this area reserve.
Well, I mean, the reason I asked was, you know, I know there's a time, and are we going to have to wait to call another council meeting to approve it if we get it and, you know, get the funding and get the manpower and everything else? Or can we go ahead and pass it, and then once we get it, start distributing it.
But there's nothing to approve yet.
Exactly.
There's nothing to approve.
We have to get the funding first.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah, I mean.
That's why I'm asking. So it's gotta come back to the council again. So it may take 2 weeks once we get the funding.
It may take even longer because.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just, that's what I'm asking.
Let me, on the process of what we've done now, just so you're aware, is if I got notified by the state that they said, Kirby, rock on. Here's the resources we're gonna do. Here's the doses we're gonna get. One of the things I can tell you is it has to do with vaccine allocations. So they're actually working usually 2 weeks in advance.
Okay, that's what.
So what will happen is we're, I think, five of the state getting vaccinations. And so they're working on, they still don't know what the allocation will be for the 18th or for the 27th or for end of February.
Okay.
So what happens is what we'll have to do is once we get I've got several plans put together in paper, and depending on what we send them and what they'll approve, we then can say, I want X amount of vaccines.
Right.
And then they go into the allocation queue. So we will have plenty of time to come back to this body.
That's
to be
what
able
I'm
to make
asking.
Sure you're totally on board. And the other thing is, just again, kind of back to it, is once you get a shot, so if we keep going, so let's say we're gonna do 100 shots a day, we're gonna do 2 days a week, so 200 a week, if we could get that in. Remember that in 4 weeks, it's now gonna be twice, because we have to go back and do the ones we did before. So those applications are going to automatically be put into the queue for those that have already been given the first dose.
Right.
So I know it's kind of a long answer, I apologize.
No, I understand what you're saying now.
We do have time to make sure that we come back to you and know exactly what, what's going on and what the plan is.
That's what I wanted to know, you know. Once we get the okay, you know, when we start? Can we start right then? Or we had to wait, you know?
Correct.
That's what I was trying to get.
The whole of the state is there are about 240 providers right now that want to get the shots, that it's held up in paperwork.
Yeah.
And so everybody's got plenty of time. I would actually say that at the soonest, probably around March 1, is a relatively optimistic hope that we could be beginning some process. The other thing is we will start early in that first phase in administering shots in probably a very slow, methodical process, because of the paperwork of the process. What I've heard from all of the agencies that are doing it, it's you have no idea what a train wreck is. It's because it's a lot of new stuff and a lot of shots, and nobody's ever done this before. So they're learning it, we're learning it, it's gotta be right, it's gotta be accurate, so we do have time, sir.
And then the database is behind.
The database is behind.
Yeah, 48 hours, it's not accurate,
and
if
and
you
I
do
believe,
it wrong, it's
it,
even
and,
more.
Tell me if I'm wrong. But they're going to want to know if we have the personnel to accomplish that feat.
That is correct.
In place. And here again, that's going to take funding also.
Right, which is why if the funding is secured, there won't be an issue necessarily with the manpower, because the funding is available to bring extra personnel in.
Right.
But then also, it wouldn't necessarily just be for Kirby residents if that happened. So there would be other, you know, being able to come to a central location, you know, in the community there.
One of the things I've worked with our partner fire chiefs in this region, literally, all will touch us. And so what we're going to do is, because I'm very Italian, it's, you know, come si, come sa, you give, you get. And so what will happen is if it takes 8 or 10 providers to man and staff this process per day, we'll be reaching out to our other partners to bring people in to be able to do it at this location.
Yeah.
But next week, it may be at Fire Station 3 in Converse. And the week after that, it's going to be at another place. So this is going to be what I'm a fan of providing a consortium of, so everybody can win to get us to where we need to be.
So if today is Thursday, January the 14th of 2020, and your last day at... Yeah, 21, excuse me. And your last day, sir, is?
The
24th. So who's going to continue to push this program to set us ahead after you leave us?
Well, I've been working with the three ship captains. And so they are
Councilor Knucklehead on email. And so this process, everything is done, it's in a folder, it's gonna get done. There's no way that we're gonna begin something we can't complete and do very well. The other thing is I've certainly made myself available, I mean obviously for free, to Ms. Vernon, to the captains, the firefighters, to make sure this happens, it's that important, or anything that I leave behind. So my goal, and I've been working on it every day, is to make sure that all these things that we've been working on continue on.
Thank you, Chief.
Regardless of, I've always believed, man, that a program shouldn't be a person. It's a standalone thing that literally it's plug and play. I'm just kind of the knucklehead that's here now.
Well, thank you, knucklehead.
Thank you, man.
All right, anything else with that?
Good.
All right, we will move to item H, discussion and possible action on resolution number R-2021-729, adopting the City of Kirby investment policy. We'll turn this over to our city manager.
So the Public Funds Investment Act sets out rules and regulations as far as municipalities following for investments. And one of the requirements is that the city council annually review and approve a resolution adopting our investment policy. And we did not make any changes to the investment policy from last year. It was reviewed by our auditors as well as the city attorney when adopted previously. And just the biggest thing to draw your attention to is on page 2 of that policy, it talks about the delegation of responsibility. And council's already done this by a resolution, is designated the city manager and the finance director as our investment officers, and providing the responsibility for investment decisions and activities. And because of that, those two employees are required to go to training every 2 years. You have to get 10 hours of training. It is a blast. So we have done that. We're in compliance. We'll be due this December to get that renewed. So anybody have specific questions about the policy?
We'll entertain a motion for the resolution.
So all y'all need is training, correct?
Yes, sir.
But that won't come till December.
Right. We went in December of 2019, so
yes,
we have to go again in 21 every 2 years.
Well, I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution R-2021-729 of adopting the City of Kirby investment policy.
A second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Salazar, seconded by Councilmember Martin, to accept resolution number R-2021-729, adopting the City of Kirby investment policy. Is there any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Resolution R-2021-729 is adopted for the City of Kirby investment policy. We'll move to item 8I, discussion and possible action on resolution number R-2021-730, adopting the City of Kirby investment strategy. This is again something that we have to review and update annually.
This one just goes into more details about what the city's investment strategy is. These are some of the things that we talk about in the training, like your liquidity, your diversification, your yield, marketability, all those financial terms for us using our investment pools and other investment options.
Right. I will entertain a motion for this resolution.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept resolution number 2021-730, adopting the City of Kirby investment strategy.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Abadaka, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, to accept resolution number R-2021-730, adopting the City of Kirby investment strategy. Is there any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Abadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes, resolution R-2021-730 is adopted for the City of Kirby investment strategy. We will move to item J, discussion and possible action, ordinance number O-2021-891, and ordinance amending the 2020-2021 municipal budget of the city of Kirby. And there's Tina.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This is our first amended.
You broke it already.
Got sprayed too much.
She broke it already.
She has a quiet.
And most of you only thought you were my disinfectants.
You got another job. This is our first amended budget for the fiscal year of 2020 and 2021. We just made some few changes into the general fund and the water fund. I will go over them. The only thing that we made change into the revenue, excuse me, is the property taxes current to city of San Antonio. That's what COSA means, is city of San Antonio. We decreased that by $26,406 to make it more actual. That is the fund that we have to pay the city of San Antonio for 15 years for the 50% boundary adjustment. Hoping that the MPO project would have been done this last fiscal year. Since it was not, we had to add our MPO project fund back into the revenue, and it had been added by $450,000 to carry over this project. The following expenditures that we've had for the city administration, we had to add $626 to the longevity pay. We decreased training and travel by $2,250. And it went to the longevity pay and also the vehicle liability insurance. Fire department, we increased it by $15,122 to overtime, for additional overtime. We decreased the longevity by $3,669 to help with overtime. We also decreased workman's comp by $11,453 and added it to the overtime. Vehicle maintenance was increased by $9,000 for additional maintenance. And the Ram 5500 chassis remount brush truck that we were supposed to order last fiscal year is being done this fiscal year. Since we are not spending the full $110,000, we decreased that by $9,000 to cover the vehicle maintenance. The streets, we added $400,000 to the MPO grant for the Ben Engelman project to finish this project out. On general operation, we increased $9,000 to building maintenance for the tile flooring in the city hall, foyer, council chamber, and conference room. With that being, vehicle liability insurance, I had to add $1,624 to make it more actual. So with that being said, we had $409,000 increase in expense. We have $450,000 increase in revenue. Take out that $26,406, which is the city of San Antonio payment. The increase of total expenses together is $435,372, and then the decrease of the expense was $26,372. So the net effect would be $14,594 increase in revenue. So that's the difference between the revenue and the expense. The water fund, there was no changes in the revenue. On the expenditures, we had, I decreased the longevity pay by $2,364. Workers' comp, I decreased that by $4,944. And if you remember, we had temp service to help out with the water department. And so what I did is I took some of that money from longevity and workman's comp to help pay for the temp service. And that was $4,616. I believe it was the last council meeting is when council approved the AWIA Risk and Resiliency Assessment Plan that we had to, that was approved by council. I had to add $36,000 to that.
And that was the unfunded mandate that we had to do. It wasn't something that we chose to do. It was we were required, yes.
So overall, it was just, it was $33,308 increase in expenses for the water department. So just a few minor changes of movement that we did.
And just let me just add a couple of things. As we talked about, you know, previously when we were discussing cashing in our CD, the $250,000 CD, because of the continuation of the MPO project and getting bills paid. So we're at a point now where tax payments are starting to come in. So most likely either next council meeting or the first meeting in February, we'll bring back an item to discuss reopening the CD, put the money back into the bank.
Right. Is there any other questions on this? If not, I will entertain a motion for the ordinance.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the action of ordinance number O-2021-891, an ordinance amending the 2020-2021 municipal budget of the City of Kirby.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Audrey, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, to accept ordinance number O-2021-891, amending the 2020-2021 municipal budget of the City of Kirby. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
I have a question. So this is it? There's not going to be any more changes?
Well, there's not. There will be, I'm sure there will be many changes throughout the year, but yes, right. But for now, yes.
All right.
Right. Any other questions? All right. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2021-891, amending the 2020-2021 municipal budget of the City of Kirby, passes for the first reading. We will move to item 8K, update, discussion, and possible action on coronavirus relief funds received from Bexar County. I had asked Monique to put this on the agenda so that she could explain again all the details, just to make sure that everybody understands what the City of Kirby and actually all suburban cities that were within Bexar County were actually faced with, especially coming on the heels of a KSAT story that ran. There was probably some misleading information because there was a few tidbits left out that actually affect how that money was spent, or even how you could spend it, or even how it was garnered to even come back to the suburban cities. So I can tell you that the money that we were able to spend and get reimbursed for probably took Tina and Monique probably days and days and weeks of just time consumption, just continuing to get what Bexar County needed, even though we prepared it correctly the first time. So I'll let Monique just speak on that piece of it.
So just a reminder to everyone, because of the declaration of the public health emergency back in March of 2020, the federal government passed the CARES Act. Within the CARES Act, they allocated coronavirus relief funds. And coronavirus relief funds went directly to governmental entities that had a population of 500,000 or more.
So in our area, the city of San Antonio received their direct amount of monies. I don't know how much they received. And Bexar County received over $9 million. The allocation was based on the population within Bexar County. So Bexar County had to take into account all of the suburban cities located in the county. And so Kirby being one of those suburban cities, they base the amount of the allocation to each city on your 2018 census counts. So the city of Kirby census count in 2018 was 8,747. So that was a $55 per capita allocation. So we were entitled to $481,085. However, that the county had the ability to decide how they wanted to administer those funds. So what they did was Commissioner's Court voted to do an interlocal agreement with each suburban city that wanted the funds. And the requirement that they put in place, even though the government said, the federal government said, the money had to be spent between March 1 and December 31 of 2020. Bexar County stipulated that the suburban cities had to spend it between March 1 and September 30 of 2020. And we had to spend it first and submit reimbursements monthly to them. And your last opportunity to submit reimbursement was October 31st of 2020, which was going to allow them the months of November and December to finish paying and to decide whatever was left. And they decided they would reallocate any money that the suburban cities did not spend. So there were a lot of small entities that did not use any of the money because they could not afford to upfront that cash in order to get it reimbursed on a 1-3 month delay. For Kirby, we only ended up spending $37,000 out of that $481,000 that we were eligible for. Because again, it came at a really bad time for us where we were purchasing all of these things. And what we used the money for was PPE, cleaning supplies, and payroll to cover employees who were quarantined and the employees who had to cover them during any quarantine related to coronavirus. So we would have loved to have spent more of that money, but unfortunately we just did not have the cash flow to be able to do that. And the time that it was taking to get reimbursed was extremely too long for us to be able to spend what we had up front. And so unfortunately, that was all the money that we were able to spend. The federal government came back, as you may have seen on the news, and recently extended the deadline another year. But in spite of the disappointment among some of the suburban city mayors, the county said, no, we've already reallocated that money and we are going to spend it. They're not going to extend the time frame for the suburban cities. So everything that we've spent COVID related since September 30th, we are paying for that 100% with no opportunity to be reimbursed.
And cases are, more rampant. It's even more now than it was before. And just so you know, the amount that was unspent by suburban cities was $3 million. So Bexar County took the $3 million and literally told all of us on the call that, no, you're not getting it, we've reallocated it. Because we wanted to know if they could kind of treat it like CDBG funding, where it was there. Because we even offered to take the money and then receipt it, and then whatever wasn't spent on a receipt, then to give them back the money if that's what they chose. And so they didn't go that route. So that's why we've been trying to push Bexar County strong, because if anybody needs help with rent,
utility assistance, rent assistance, and then they have some small business grants.
Yeah, so small business. So we really weren't able to even help a lot of the businesses here. There was a few that were able to get some PPE, the plexiglass, to be able to do that. But I believe we were only given like five or six of that even in the beginning, but that had nothing to do with the CARES funding. Other larger cities were able to use their EDCs and other entities within their organizations that were able to front the money long enough for the city to be okay. And then once they got reimbursed, they were able to reimburse those other entities. So it made it really difficult for us. And there was, like Monique said, there were some of the cities that weren't even able to spend a penny. So when it came out on the news, it was basically, and you didn't spend any of this. So we actually, I actually had a phone call from Commissioner Calvert, and he was actually saying, well, how come y'all didn't take advantage of, you know, this? And I explained the situation, and he was like, oh, really? So even the commissioner's court wasn't quite familiar with what the suburban cities were having to do to actually spend the money. So it was, there's hopefully moving forward. We've spoken with Commissioner Calvert. He is looking into some other options for the suburban cities, at least in Precinct 4 that he covers. So hopefully with the next coming months, there will be opportunities that Kirby will have to help with the COVID response and to directly help our residents and our businesses. But I just wanted everybody to know that, again, it wasn't that the suburban cities didn't want to spend the money. And even though the federal government said you have another year to spend, we were not allowed to spend that money. They took it, did not give it back to us. All right. And we'll move now. That was K. All right. Item 9A, executive session update, discussion on possible action on Springfield Road properties, possible executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, consultation with attorney. At this time, I will close our regular meeting at 8:18 so that we will be able to convene into executive session. The regular meeting of January 14th at 8:45 p.m. Our executive session ended at 8:44. There was no action taken. We will move to item 10A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Council member Salazar.
I don't have anything, Mayor. I'm just arguing with everybody else.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Welcome, Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a couple of things. With this season of winter, we've got COVID, we've got a lot of things going on. And when cold fronts come in, a lot of times they're windy. And, you know, Thursdays are our trash days. And you put out your garbage can the night before so you don't have to do it in the morning and freeze your butt off. Well, it would be nice if our citizens would bag their trash before they put their trash in their trash can. Because if it gets knocked over, it's a bag, not scattered everywhere. And the second thing is, when it's cold, bring your pets in. If you're cold, they're cold. And last but not least, I want to thank everybody for serving on this council. Tonight, I will be resigning from this council to seek another office. And tonight will be my last night. That's all I have.
All right.
See, that's why I didn't have to say anything. I knew she had it all.
Councilmember Apodaca.
Welcome back, everyone. And stay healthy. Watch. It's very easy to forget about being safe, washing your hands, keeping your distance. At work, I'm constantly reminding everyone of that. So just be aware of your surroundings and watch what you do. And everybody, stay safe and healthy.
Councilmember Martin.
I got nothing to put on the agenda, but I would like to thank the staff, fire, water, police, chief, got some outstanding officers. They do a great job. I see them all the time. They work hard, not only fire, public works, staff. I just want to thank y'all for y'all's dedication. That's all I got.
Thank you. All right, again, thank you everybody for staying with us this evening. I wanted to thank all of our departments for the holiday activities. You know, it's a very concerted effort to get everybody in place to, you know, bring those events to the community, whether it be for the Santa, Blue Santa, the drive-through Santa, the cookies with Santa. That didn't happen, but it was a drive-through, and again, it was a trial by error. It was things that we weren't expecting to have to do. So thank you for everybody's effort. The fire parade through the city of Kirby is always a welcome tradition, and it's amazing to see multiple traditions, people that I grew up with standing there with their children and their grandchildren. So, that's one of those really special moments. So I thank for everybody that was involved with that. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge did mention that she was resigning for another office. So that brings me just to remind everybody that candidate filing is in place right now until February 12th. You can pick up the packets between normal business hours Monday through Friday. But are we closed on Monday?
Oh, we're closed this Monday.
Okay,
yes.
I just want to make sure. So the office, I couldn't remember what the list, but city offices are closed on Monday. So if you decide to get you want to run and you don't get a packet tomorrow, just make sure you come Tuesday, not Monday. And again, thank you, everybody. Stay healthy, like everybody said, stay warm. And we will adjourn at 8:50. Thank you.